there a theology of emotions? Well, we're starting this new series on emotions, mental health, and the gospel life. And yes, there is a theology of emotions. At least there is one in development. There's a field of study called practical theology, of which Christian psychology and Christian counseling are subsets of the field. So we are starting this series on emotions, and I've been working on what I felt led to share, and I have come to realize that I need to be careful with my words. Some of the topic of this series is really best held in conversation back and forth, one-on-one, or in a small group. It's not really best for me to be on one side of the internet and the reader or listener on the other, because too much could be misspoken or misunderstood. See, the reason for this series topic is this. The purpose of Gospel Life Learning is to provide resources to help others draw near to God and share His nearness with others. That is the mission purpose of this ministry, and here is where the ministry and the topic of emotions comes together. When we are having difficulty with our emotions, and that can include both overreacting to our emotions or denying or stuffing our emotions, either end of it, then that can create a barrier to our level of closeness with God, and difficulties with our emotions can cause us to be ineffective in being representative of Christ and a true source of help and support or encouragement to those around us. So the next few topics or posts or audios are going to be based from two foundational statements. And the first one is that our emotions are given to us by God. And then secondly, emotions in and of themselves are neutral signals, and we are to handle and steward these signals well and in a way that honors God. In doing so, we also grow closer to God as we rely on His Spirit to guide us. So with that understanding, I'm really just going to scratch the surface of this topic of emotions in the Bible or psychology and Christian thought. I want to discuss it, though, not so much for just thinking about it or pondering it. I have a very practical reason, and it's this. Our world and the people in it are in a lot of hurt. And I have come to realize that a lot of people out there don't know what is available to them as far as helping them to handle their emotions, their feelings, their behaviors, and difficulties in their relationships. There is so much help available, but a lot of people don't even realize that they have a problem and that they are on a path to more problems. You know, as Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. We see this a lot where there's a way, everything seems to be fine, this is no big deal, this is just a minor concern, but it doesn't get better on its own. It leads to worse functioning, worse outcomes. So the first reason is that I hope to spread some awareness about how to identify when you, yourself, or when one of your loved ones are having a mental health or emotional problem. Because when these types of problems go unidentified and unsupported, things typically get worse and not better on their own. The second reason is that so many people have a misunderstanding of what counseling is, or what therapy is, or even what medications for depression or anxiety are available, and what those medications do. There is so much help available, but people have all kinds of misconceptions about what that help is, or what it looks like, or what is involved. So they continue to suffer difficulties and setbacks and struggles in their lives when they just need someone to come alongside them and give them some direction and counsel. For example, I think a lot of people think that going to see a counselor or a therapist is going to be something like it was in the 1950s, where they are laying on a couch and they have to tell all about every embarrassing thing or traumatic thing or hurtful thing that ever happened to them. But no, Actually, psychoanalysis like that has been discredited and it is not evidence-based and it is not what happens at all. But part of what I want to do with these blog teachings is inform you of some biblical perspectives of identifying and managing emotions, as well as informing you of resources that are available. Again, I am doing this because I've come to realize that many people live in constant patterns of low-level distress, irritability, anger or bitterness, anxiety or depression, and sometimes they don't even know it. They don't even realize that there are supports available or strategies that they could be implementing to help them feel better and live better. Many people don't even realize that they have an emotional or mental health issue because it's just the way that they have always been. And it was also the way their parents and sisters or brothers are too. I hear that a lot. This is just how we are. And then I just want to say in return, well, the way you are is broken and you don't have to be broken. And I say that with all humility because the truth is we are all broken and out of place in this world. I'm broken. I had a little emotional meltdown earlier this week over some upcoming unknown to potential changes in my life. And I honestly didn't handle my emotions well at first. I started by expressing my angst to and towards another person. Okay, you probably figured out it was my husband. But anyway, I started off handling my emotions wrong towards my husband. But I did catch myself after several minutes. Even though it was not a perfect implementation of emotional stewardship, I did catch myself and was able to pause and make some adjustments using some of the counseling and psychological tools that I have learned. So in the end, I was able to realize where I had veered off course and was able to apologize and then start a conversation about what the real concerns and fears were. However, years ago, I would not have even realized that I was having a problem. I might have thought that someone else was causing a problem for me and that I was fully justified for expressing myself in any manner in which what I needed to say needed to be said. See, back then, I had a problem and I didn't know it. Let me give you another example, which is actually quite common. If you experience feelings of just wishing you could escape or disappear, or even wishing that death would just come upon you so that you could escape the stresses of your life, then you likely have a clinical level of depression. Even if you just think about it in general terms, but you know you would never take any action towards hurting yourself, you still have a thought issue that could be helped if you knew the best strategies or had a qualified coach or counselor to help you. It may be the way you have always been, but this person with that type of thought pattern would still have a significant cognitive behavioral condition that doesn't have to be that way. It can be helped. In fact, psychologists would consider that type of thinking as low levels of suicidal ideation. It may not get better on its own, and you've been struggling and managing, and you don't realize that it's a condition, and there are methods to help. We have done a very, very poor job in our society in teaching people about what good mental health is, about when mental health problems start to creep in, and about ways to bolster our mental health and prevent problems. We don't teach resiliency, and for most people, it's not something that is easily figured out on our own. Sometimes, if we notice our issues early enough, we can benefit from self-help reading or podcasts or workshops. Other times, when that is not enough to be effective and to maintain improvement, we need a coach or a counselor to help us along. Again, the vast majority of people, and yes, even the majority of Christians, don't even realize that they are living with a condition that is hampering their ability to live abundantly in spirit. And when I say abundantly in the spirit, I mean living with more peace, joy, contentment, with a focus on the good things in our lives as opposed to living in lower levels of irritability, resentment, sadness, or just generally a downcast soul. Remember that when we are living and walking with the Spirit of Christ, we are able to have peace and contentment no matter the circumstances. Let's not forget Paul, who said, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Then the next verse he says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." That is Philippians 4:11-13. And yes, that is the context of the verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is saying, I have learned that by relying on the Spirit of Christ, right? It's the Spirit of Christ, because Paul did not have an in-person friendship with Jesus, and he never did. Paul was not one of the 12 disciples. He began walking with Jesus through the Spirit of Christ, just like we do. And Paul was saying, that is the secret of being content, no matter what is happening around me or to me. Christ gives me the strength to be content, no matter the circumstance. That is really powerful. So I'm closing off now, as this is just an introduction, and I will have another post and audio up soon with more. In the meantime, a little assignment. I want you to think about the most recent time you got really upset about something. A time when you either got angry or were very irritable or aggravated or just upset. Or as we used to say, a recent time when you were ticked off. Have something in mind for our next upcoming sessions or lessons, because you will have a chance to learn and develop a few strategies for those types of situations. In the meantime, remember James 4:8. When you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And in 2 Chronicles 6, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are turned towards Him, so that He may strongly support them. Thank you for listening. This is Sherry Peavy, the author and the voice behind these messages. I invite you to gospellifelearning.com to sign up for our monthly email newsletter if you haven't already done so. You will never miss a message, a special offer, or a free resource. Thank you again. Until next time.